You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. We are kicking off hour number two on this spooky Tuesday night before Halloween. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite sports song? That can be a song that is an intro song or that you've heard during a sports movie or one that is played during a game like Jump Around. We've had some great contributions so far. Feel free to reach out and join the show at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tomorrow night on the show, we've got National Lampoon in the house. National Lampoon writer Jeff Tully will be here, and actor and the voice of National Lampoon, Jamie Kaler, will be here. That will be tomorrow night. And Sean Katzbach will be here promoting Brews. Help me, Conrad. Brews.
Blues, Brews, and Barbecue.
Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Up in Marinette, my hood. That's coming up soon, too. So Sean will be here from the Marinette Community Rec Center to talk about that great event they've got going on up there. Todd Michaels will be here at 7:20 to continue this creepy conversation we're having tonight. But right now, we're having some fun with Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. It's so funny, Carl. When we were talking before, I texted my wife and kids and I said, hey, what do you guys think if we popped over to Door County and did this ghost tour? And they were like, oh, that sounds like fun. And immediately after you said, yeah, sometimes we gain people on the tour and then they set off treadmills and all that. So we may or may not be there. However, you were in the middle, before we went to the news, you were in the middle of a story about a six-year-old boy that disappeared. Please, if you would continue that story, maybe back up just a little so we can get a recap.
Yeah, so poor little Huey Melvin, he was a beloved child of a family and was taken too early because he caught a splinter actually sliding down his grandfather's basement door. Cellar door, the storm cellar things on the outside, and splinter had some rust from the screws or nails, and boy, horrible death. Something we don't deal with anymore because largely eradicated. But then when he was taken, he was buried in the family plot. But as I mentioned earlier, that plot in the park was closed by the state when they opened the park in 1909. So his parents, who died afterward, 1933, 1945, weren't allowed to be buried in the plot with him.
Oh man!
And the family's belief is he's hanging around Fish Creek looking for mom and dad.
That is unbelievable. So what year would that have been that he passed away?
1905.
Oh my gosh. So that's a story on your tour. You tell that. And is that the one people respond to the most, would you say? Has anybody ever seen him, Huey?
I have never had someone see him on the tour, no.
Okay.
I've had people who have stayed at the Thorpe House Inn and talked about, in the cottages, and talked about very interesting happenings, lights going on and things like that while they were there, orbs, which is a big indication of spirits, seeing them as well. And they had no idea.
What do you mean orbs? Like circles in the air, like lit up?
Yep.
That's a sign of ghosts?
Yep. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah.
And we get a lot of those at the Alexander Noble house, that haunted house. So, yeah, they show up inside the house there. And it's, yeah. That's a huge story for people.
That's unbelievable. And have you ever personally witnessed, like, have you seen a ghost in all your time doing this? I know you said earlier you saw some weird stuff near a lighthouse south of Sturgeon Bay, but what about in Door County? What is your own personal experience?
So, again, you know, fence sitter myself, but I was in the Noble House. And the way it works, we leave the group with one of the docents from the Historical Society who are in the house and talking to them about the house. And we're in the front of the house and in the foyer of the house. And all of a sudden, this was October last year, I guess, the front door opened up. It was a windy night. Windy night. And I'm like, oh, it's the windy night. And as I close it, all of a sudden I hear from inside the room, someone give a grunt and you hear a bump. And I'm like, oh no, one of our people's gone down and this is horrible. And then there was a clatter of pots and pans because the kitchen is just beyond there. I'm like, oh, this is really bad. I got to get in there. And as I just got to the door to go in, there's all this laughter. And I'm like, okay, certainly not hurt too badly. Well, so the series came across, the door blew open in the front. Suddenly the gentleman who was in the dining room, which is the room where they're all talked to, was pushed from behind. There was no one behind him, against the table. And then two pots that were up on a shelf in the kitchen fell down off the shelf and the back door of the house opened up. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So this was
that's
you.
That's my experience.
That's you and one other person in the room?
Oh, no. I was alone in my area.
Okay.
Waiting, and he was in the room with 28 other people.
So he's the one that got pushed, though, into a tape? Yeah. And no one was behind? Yep. Okay. Wow.
No one behind him.
Oh, that's creepy. So,
that's my closest thing.
You'd like to think that's as much damage as a ghost could do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, where you aren't seriously injured. Carl, I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. What are you a fan of scary movies, or what are you watching in general that maybe you could recommend? Scary or not?
Yeah. So scary movies. No, Carl and scary movies are not a good thing.
You see
spooky
enough of
is
it.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Spooky. I like the gore and all of that. I'm not a big fan of like the Friday the 13th kind of things,
okay. But,
I think one of the scariest movies was, it was like the 1930s and it was, wow. It was,
was it like the Mummy or something?
No, it wasn't even one of those. It was a psychological thriller from the 30s with, Bette Davis. And, it was horrifying. Joan Crawford, Irma is part of the title. And it was the scariest movie. I've seen some of the others and they bothered me a little bit, but this one really stuck with me for years.
Whatever Happened to Baby Jane?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I have not seen that. Okay.
Oh, check it out.
All right. Very good. Well, that's a great, that's one we have not heard before on the show whenever I ask people for recommendations. So I appreciate it. That's fantastic. Carl, thanks so much. Keep up the great work and always come back and feel free to tell stories. This has been fun.
Thank you. I appreciate being on and come on up and join us. Go for a ride.
If I do, I'll say hi, but I can't promise anything.
All perfect. Right.
Have a great night. Thanks so much.
Pete.
You got you it. Too. That's Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Check out doorcountytrolley.com. They do tours all year round, not just during the scary season. And I could totally see him leading a tour and being kind of a steady hand. Cause if people do get freaked out,
yeah,
he's kind of a calm guy. And even though he's seen some stuff, he's still pretty, there's a confidence in that. You don't want the tour guide who's like wetting himself, right? Like, oh, I can't believe I'm doing this again. You know?
So actually, that would be pretty funny.
That would be pretty funny, actually. Okay, so yesterday, folks, Todd Michaels is coming up in just about 5 minutes. We'll continue the scary talk for tonight. Back-to-back Creep Fest tonight. So that's kind of fun around Halloween. On our first cold, certainly fall night we've got going on here. Hey, I meant to tell you, I pulled up today. I've been doing this show for 10 months. Over 10 months now we've been doing this. And I pulled up. This is the first time I got a meter spot outside. And there was like 40 minutes left in the meter.
Wow, okay.
Sometimes it seems like people time it so they like find stuff to do so they can leave right when the meter is run out. Because I've never gotten that the charity before, but that was kind of a pleasant surprise. So yesterday was the anniversary of the film dropping Sideways in 2004 with Paul Giamatti, Thomas Hayden Church and Virginia Madsen. A really fun movie, especially for wine lovers. And Paul Giamatti is just such a great actor. He's, you know, Oscar nominated. I believe he's won an Oscar. I have to double check. He might have won one for Sideways, actually. I'll double check that. But just, and a great cast. I've always liked Virginia Madsen. She is Michael Madsen's sister, who is, in my opinion, much more talented than Michael Madsen. Not that he's not, but she has a better range, I think. She's a really underrated actress. And Thomas Hayden Church, who was typically a sitcom actor before Sideways. Anyway, Sideways came out. It was a really good, a very well-received movie by Alexander Payne. And we have a scene here from Sideways. This is Paul Giamatti and Virginia Madsen talking about Pinot Noir.
Why are you so into Pinot? I mean, it's like a thing with you.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a hard grape to grow, as you know, right? It's thin skin, temperamental, ripens early. It's, you know, it's not a survivor like Cabernet, which can just grow anywhere and thrive even when it's neglected. No, Pinot needs constant care and attention. You know, and in fact, it can only grow in these really specific little tucked away corners of the world. And only the most patient and nurturing of growers can do it, really. Only somebody who really takes the time to understand Pinot's potential can then coax it into its fullest expression. And then, I mean, oh, its flavors, they're just the most haunting and brilliant and thrilling and subtle and ancient on the planet.
It's just such good acting, and the music complements the actors so well, and the fact that they're talking about wine. Did you have any idea that much thought and preparation went into winemaking?
Yes, I actually did.
Because you went to Italy? No, seriously, is that...
Yes, actually, yeah. Yes. I went on a wine tour in Santorini, and yeah, it's really good. Okay. And they told us all about the stories behind it.
I love it. You'll have to share those one night. We'll do a wine thing, I think. That would be fun.
Okay.
A nightlight wine thing. A nightlight wine club, even, maybe. And Zombie Nation was the name of that band.
Yes.
Well done, yep. Young man. Great research. I knew it was something else besides zombie. Okay. Todd Michaels is coming up next. We are going to talk more Wisconsin ghost stories on this Tuesday night edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me. We will be right back with more scary talk on the Civic Media Radio Network.
He's the greatest dancer on the planet that I've ever seen.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, there can't be better music to introduce a team or my next guest, right?
It is the best introduction music.
It's phenomenal. And I like I said earlier in the show, I spent so much time in the United Center. I used to have a season ticket, part of a season ticket package, and it was just like, I could leave after the opening, and it was just phenomenal. So, and the hair on the back of my head is standing up right now, ladies and gentlemen, because my next guest is about to join us. He is a frequent flyer here at Nightlight and a paranormal investigator who also happens to produce Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS, our friend Todd Michaels. Todd, hey.
Oh.
Have you ever been brought onto a show with such cool music?
No, and the sad part is I think this will be a complete letdown now after the theme music.
I seriously doubt that very much. Hey, great to have you here. Thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely. I love coming on your show and talking ghosts anytime.
Me too. And I'll tell you, it's funny because we've talked about this a lot, Todd, that I don't know where I stand on it, but I the more I talk about this with people, I think maybe I am a believer because I get more freaked out. Like, our last guest was a guide for Door County Trolley who does ghost tours.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, I don't know if you're listening, but I texted my family during a quick break and I said, hey, let's go take this tour. And then when I came back, he came back on and he said, yeah, sometimes we pick up. I said, have you ever lost anyone joking around? And he said, no, but sometimes we pick someone up and a ghost goes home with someone. So I'm like, I believe enough to maybe not want to do it right now. So maybe I'm a hypocrite.
Well, I don't think you should be worried. And here's why. Yes, it is possible something could follow you home. But if you protect yourself, you're okay. In fact, I had a conversation about this week. Ghosts scare me so little now that it's the other stuff in life that just freaks me out. I was watching the original Salem's Lot this week, which is one of my favorite cheesy, scary movies, right?
Right.
In all my life, I've never had to do this, but I had to take a break because I was so freaked out by it that I had to come back like the next night and finish it.
Why were you so freaked out? I mean, you've seen more than most of us when it comes to this stuff.
Because I truly don't believe that the majority of hauntings and spirits and stuff like that are evil. But I do think there's true evil out there. And I'm not sure that we necessarily know everything that falls into that category. So, you know, vampires and all that, could that fall into it? It is completely possible to me.
Wait, did you put vampires in that group?
I did.
But not the kind from Transylvania. Like, you mean like the people who just identify as vampires? Because I know those people are out there.
I always come on the show and it's like I'm talking to Howard Stern because Howard can ask questions of anybody and they'll just open up to Howard Stern for some reason. Right. And I feel that way with you, Pete. I just think there's a lot of evil out there that we don't necessarily always understand. Did you see the movie The Deliverance?
I still have not watched that, but we spoke briefly about that last time you were on. That's a very creepy story in Gary, Indiana, right?
Right. And that's my point. Like, I really do believe that there's some evil out there that we take for granted that it's something else, whether it's just somebody with mental illness or it's somebody that has a disease or something like that. But I sometimes wonder if there isn't something deep down at the core of all that that is helping to create these issues.
Wow. Well said.
Sorry to blow your entire plan for the night in just 2 minutes, but yeah.
No. Yeah. That's fine. That's why you're here. You're here to freak me out, Todd.
Yeah.
So the one of the things I want to ask you about, and I'm trying not to touch on, because I'm fascinated by Door County. I went and I saw a play there last year, a Sherlock Holmes play at Peninsula Players. Took the family. It was October. It was their last show of the year. It was chilly. There was wind. And I'm watching a spooky play about a killing. And it was just such a great setting. And I don't know if you've been there, but it's, 50 feet off the lake. And the winds can get going. It's just a great atmosphere for this kind of stuff. Off the coast of Door County, you can see Chambers Island. And there's a haunted lighthouse there.
Yes.
And I'm fascinated by Chambers Island because a lot of people in the Marinette area where I live go out there to swim. I know it was populated at one point. There was a Catholic retreat there, I think. The lighthouse is supposed to be haunted. There's a few people, I think, that live on the island. And I think it's actually part of Fish Creek or Gibraltar Township. But there are ghost stories there. Do you know anything about those stories, Todd, and what the background is with the lighthouse being haunted?
Well, I think, you can look at pretty much any lighthouse, and I pretty much would guarantee with you that there's some sort of haunting going on there. And the reason why, Pete, is because those places, the people who worked there, the families that toiled there and actually had their lives there, really went through hell. I mean, that was really, really difficult work. There was, you literally, it could be life and death for people out in the water, right? If you're not taking care of that light.
Absolutely.
And you're secluded at, like you said, a lot of these are on islands. And so getting back and forth was not always easy. And it was a lot of hard work. And I think that toiling and that struggle probably was somewhat left behind. I have heard stories about the lighthouse on Chambers Island being haunted. I can tell you that the lighthouse on Cana Island certainly has ghosts. I've investigated there and I would say absolutely on that. But I would bet money that 99.9% of lighthouses in this country have some sort of energy, spirit, ghost involved with it.
Well, what do you attribute that to, Todd? Just because of the isolation or?
Well, I think, again, if you put your heart and soul into something, you leave something behind. If somebody creates a fantastic movie, for instance, their work is left behind in that film, in the people who watch that film for decades to come. So I think anybody who puts that much energy and love into what they do, part of them is left behind. And even monotonous things like walking up the tower, right? That how many times a day did they do that?
Right.
So just the toiling and struggle and the importance of those lighthouses for so many years to navigation, it just lends itself to something being left behind.
That's really interesting. It says the Chambers family lived there. The island was named after Talbot Chambers, a colonel who discovered the island in 1816. There's the Pioneer Cemetery, and there are just a few people buried on the island. That, to me, I don't know why that creeps me out more than a big, huge, big, huge crowded cemetery, right?
Because, again, they're kind of left there by themselves. Nobody really knows about them. Yeah. Does anybody visit them? There's, you know, so, yeah, I can understand that, too.
All right. So when we come back, Todd, after the news, the award-winning news here at Civic Media, I want to ask you about Devil's Lake State Park.
Perfect.
Let's see, maybe the Sherwood Point Lighthouse. Have we talked shipwrecks before?
A little bit, but I think we could dig into that a little bit if you want to.
All right. Todd Michaels is here. Always fun when Todd's here. He is the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS. Check that out in the morning. He'll be back next, though, after the news, as a paranormal investigator. That's how we like Todd on the show. This is Pete Schwabe and Civic Media. Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Conrad's jumping rope right now and chasing a chicken. That's how powerful this music is. Maybe the greatest sports movie ever. Certainly maybe up in the conversation is that music as great. Do you have a favorite sports song, Todd, or music from a sporting event or movie?
Oh, gosh, that's tough.
Yeah.
I think one of the worst ones, there was a movie out about Olympic pole vaulters and stuff like that.
Oh,
back
really?
In the 80s. Yeah. And there was a hit song off that I thought was pretty bad. But other than that, I think I always tend to go for the bad stuff and not really recognize the good stuff.
I can't tell you how happy I am. I miss that movie about pole vaulting. I cannot see that being. Bear with me, Todd. Your fans are coming out in droves. We got some messages here. Christy says, how many ghosts does Todd Michaels daring shower with on Halloween? Is that an inside joke or?
No, but you could all be showering with something and you just don't know it, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Actually sounds kind of exciting.
More excitement than I'm used to.
All right. I'm pretty lonely in there typically. Dominion, I don't know the last name, Dominion, my chairman, sir, your boy, DeLoyal, sir, Twail, so this is Greek I'm reading here. Todd, does that mean anything to you?
I think it's somebody from Nigeria actually saying hello.
Okay. I didn't want to make that assumption, and I thought maybe it was like an inside language or something. Sarah Jean says, wait, how do you protect yourself from a ghost following you home? That's a great question, and if I knew I could do that, I would take this Door County trolley tour.
You can, and nothing is 100% foolproof on this, but if you set the intention of, listen, I'm going I can experience something that's great, but you're not allowed to follow me home. Like your intention really does have power in that way. Some people will wear like crucifixes or rosary beads or something like that if they're Catholic. Some people will carry crystals of different settings and powers and stuff like that to try and keep stuff away. But literally you making it an intentional thought process, maybe even saying it out loud as you're leaving the trolley place, hey, you're not allowed to follow me home. That really does help the intention of keeping that stuff away.
How? Why wouldn't they? Why would they listen to you, I guess, is my question. And I'm not saying you can answer this, but obviously in your experience that's worked. But why do you think it does?
Well, I think that if you put up those walls, whether or not they're real, like you can do that with a person, right? You can do that with an actual person. I don't want to deal with you. So you can kind of shove them out of your life. Same thing here. Putting up the boundaries and saying you have no right to do this. Again, not 100% foolproof.
Sure.
They could certainly do it if they wanted to, if there's darkness there enough. But
they really wanted to be a jerk.
Doing, Exactly. And I'll be honest with you, I learned the hard way because something did follow me home and kind of went through that for a while.
So what happened? How'd you get rid of it?
I had to reach out to some people in different forms of witchcraft and some crystals and all that kind of stuff. There were spells done and all that. I mean, I know a lot of people go, okay, that's just crazy talk. But when you come back from a location and things have changed in your life that drastically, something is definitely with you.
And you know what? It's not, because here's the thing. If the ghost is real, then the witchcraft and the things that can repel it are real. That would make me a believer in that stuff. Like,
well, and I think people think witchcraft, you think of, you know, the Wicked Witch of the West and fireballs and all that kind of stuff. It's more being aligned with the earth and nature and the universe and all that kind of stuff. So whether you're Catholic and you believe in God and Jesus and all that kind of stuff and the Holy Spirit, or you believe in witchcraft, or you have another, it's all a very similar belief system across the board. And for some reason that helps people strengthen their abilities against these things coming into their lives, I guess.
Dominion says ghosts are actually real, very real. Sandy Jean says Todd with double exclamation points. Todd, just wanted to.
Sandy is somebody that I do a podcast with every week, and we actually investigated Door County a couple of years ago.
Oh, that's so cool. Okay, Christy says I really need Todd's autograph. Christy just wants autographs. I mean, no,
she can have it.
I used to think I feel special when she'd ask me, but I've seen her ask like three or four other people. Like,
yeah, just make sure you charge her enough.
Sounds good to me. David Williams says, feel free to tell my experience, Todd.
Oh, my goodness. So David and I did an investigation of a bunch of theaters in Wisconsin several years ago.
Oh, awesome.
And one of the theaters that we investigated was the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee. And here's another story of a theater in Wisconsin that went through all sorts of changes. Probably started off, if I remember properly, doing musicals and all that kind of stuff and then turned to movies, and then probably had at some point in its career, you know, blue movies and naughty stuff going on there. And then they brought back music, and plus it's right on the water. That's why it's called Riverside Theater, because the river is right there. So, and there's a thought process that water, and especially traveling water, can help create energy, hold energy, all that kind of stuff. Mm. So we went there to investigate, had a number of things happen that night. David ended up, and I hope I don't get in trouble saying this, but I believe the belief is that he had some sort of possession happen.
Whoa.
Not because of the theater, but because we all had our guard down. We weren't thinking, hey, this could happen. So he kind of went through some stuff. Again, the theater is not an evil place,
right?
But unless you set that intention of you're not going to, you know, bother me once I walk out the door, and he wasn't even out the door at the time that it happened.
The theater is not an awful place unless you're watching community theater and they're doing Cats. Then you're in trouble.
Talk about your hauntings. You take that home with you.
I think if I were a ghost too, you said they showed the blue movies. If I was a ghost, I'd probably watch a lot of porn just because I have the time.
Exactly. And who's going to catch you? You could do it anywhere.
Exactly. Sarah Jean also says, I've had to ask it to leave, tell it to leave, order it to leave in Jesus' name. And lastly, smudged a few times and think it's finally gone.
So she used religion, Christianity to, but she also, smudging is kind of a witchcraft, new age kind of thought process too, where you take sage and you burn it and cleanse your house with that.
Oh, that's crazy. Aunt Carla, sorry, I'm just getting into this text. Aunt Carla says, oh my God, whatever happened to Baby Jane is weird. And the plot was around a childhood actress in the 30s. Very freaky movie. Did you see that, Todd?
Yes.
Is it good? I've never seen it.
It's in that era. It is. And, and Bette, what's her name? Is
Joan Crawford.
Betty Davis, right?
Betty Davis. Yeah.
She's creepy anyway, I think. So then you put her in this situation. It's, ooh.
Aunt Carla says, old Baraboo Inn, many stories, and I've encountered some experiences. What's going on there, Todd?
I've never investigated there, but I've heard many, many stories about some of the hauntings in that location. Hotels, another hotspot, because so many people come in and out. And a lot of these older hotels have been around like hundreds of years, or at least 100 some years. bad stuff happened, right? The mob was involved. There was other stuff going on, prohibition, you know, in some cases, murders and stuff took place in these places. All that energy is stored in these buildings. And
in the rooms we stay in, which is crazy too.
You could, honest to goodness, you could go down the street to the Baymont in Green Bay and stay there, and there's probably something lurking as well. If you really wanted to find it, you could. But
yeah.
any location that's had turmoil, sadness, a lot of work ethic. I used the word toil earlier in the show, and I got a text from Christy that said she didn't know what the word toil meant, so I had to go and look it up in the dictionary to teach her what that meant. But anything that has that much activity in its life is going to hold on to something. It's got to.
Jim from Appleton says, isn't it amazing how much the power of will can accomplish? Sorry, spirit, you are not allowed here.
Yep. I mean, he's absolutely right. Yeah. You're right, Jim.
That's great. Todd, so what can you tell us? This was crazy. Devil's Lake State Park. Some say there is a story of a Native American's ghostly canoe floating on the lake at night. That's creepy.
It's interesting because I do believe places like Devil's Lake and even Wisconsin Dells hold that energy from way back then. Hmm. And maybe we're not as in tune with it because we don't live in that day. We don't understand some of the background of what it was like to be Native American here. And so sometimes I don't think we necessarily grasp onto that as much as other people might. But yeah, there are these stories that you will see the canoe, or you'll see people from the tribe, you know, in the trees and stuff like that. Certainly have had experiences in Door County with something similar, where we had gotten, I guess, visions or indications that there were Native Americans in the tree line and all that kind of stuff.
I asked you before the break about ghost ships. Frank Anderson, yeah, a friend of ours, a friend of Nightlight too, tells a great story. I'll probably have him tell it around Christmas about a Door County ghost ship. Do you know any good ghost ship stories? Have you been asked to investigate anything involving the water like that?
I'll tell you what. I mean, the best places to investigate are museums that actually hold on to the artifacts from these shipwrecks. Huh. The Maritime Museum in Manitowoc, the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, great place to go, haunted. The Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum up in the UP, also another great location. They've got pieces of the Edmund Fitzgerald up there. And and again, these are things, very bad things happened on these ships. People died, and the energy of the waves and the crashing and all that kind of stuff, again, just lends itself to energies and spirits hanging on to those items.
My guest is Todd Michaels. He's a paranormal investigator, and he is the producer of Mino and the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS. Although Conrad filled in for you today, I understand he crushed it, Todd.
I heard differently.
Oh no. Who said it? No,
I'm kidding. They said that you were wonderful. Actually told me I could have more time off.
Wow. So. Oh, you don't want to hear that.
Get ready for that, buddy. Get ready for that.
Todd, have you heard the story of a headless nun in Kenosha?
Man, there's stories like that all over the place. I have heard that story. Those are a little bit, you have to do a lot of research on those kinds of stories because a lot of it is based on folklore.
Okay.
And you go back in time and you find out that there's not a lot holding on to it that is real. There's also one in Door County where a milkmaid was walking the roads in Door County, Washington Island, in fact, and was struck by a vehicle. I don't know if it was a horse-drawn buggy or what it was back in the day, but you only see her from like the waist up because her legs were severed or something. Man. And we actually went out onto the road that they say that happened, and we didn't catch anything. So a lot of that stuff is folklore. There's some interesting stories behind it, but I don't necessarily always lend a lot. I don't give a lot of credence to those stories unless there's some real history to back it up.
Okay. That's fair. What about Siren Bridge? Ever hear that story? A family? So, yeah.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those stories where a family, they lost their life there or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, a family
isn't that
went over
out?
Into the water. And now when people go over the bridge or in the area, they hear a little girl crying over the radio.
Yeah. Again, I'm not going to say that it can't be. Okay. But I would want to look back at the history. I would want to see something in writing from a police report or a news local newspaper to find out if something like that actually happened. That would be the first point for me to decide whether or not we were going to investigate something like that.
Okay. All right. So we got to do a quick break coming up. But when we come back, Todd, I want to ask you, before we let you go and help us close the show here, what is, I'm going to ask you a story you've seen or investigated that you can't explain or are most inclined to believe. Okay. Is that a good question?
We'll try it again when we come back and I'll see if I can grasp it.
I'm just giving you a heads up. Okay. And in the meantime, we've got Steady Eddie says, I'm not going to forget your text tonight, Eddie. He says, Pete, in the late 60s, after the Braves left Milwaukee and before the Brewers arrived at good old County Stadium in 1970, I was a Chicago Cubs fan. Some of the Cubs games were shown on the Madison TV station. Some of the players were Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, Billy Williams, Don Kessinger. In 1969, they almost went to the World Series, but were bested by Tom Seaver in the Miracle Mets. The Mets went on to win the World Series and beat the Orioles in four games. This is a mini series, Eddie. A song that they played on the Cubs broadcast started like this. Hey, hey, holy mackerel. No doubt about it. The Cubs are on their way. Were you a Cubs fan, Pete? Do you remember this song? Can you sing it? No, I can't, Eddie, but that's a great text. Steadfast Edward never lets us down. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight. We're going to be back to close things down with Todd Michaels when we come back. It's the Civic Media Radio Network. That's a great one. Spirit in the Sky. That's in a lot of sports movies. I love that tune. Tomorrow night, we bring back the funny. We're freaking ourselves out tonight, but tomorrow night, it's all about National Lampoon. Jeff Tully, National Lampoon writer, and the voice of National Lampoon and actor Jamie Kaler will be here. And we'll talk about a great event going on up in Marinette called Blues, Brews, and Barbecue with Sean Katzbach from the Marinette Community Rec Center from my hood. Sean's a good guy. He'll be here tomorrow night.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
I may have to show up there with a tape recorder and record some drunk people like listening
stuff
to blues. So we have Aunt Carla says, she says, roll out the barrel always gets a crowd pumped up. Yeah, that's great one. I forgot about that one. Yeah. Okay, Todd. And then Anna texted and she says, Pete, please ask Todd if he knows anything about St. Coletta's and Jefferson being haunted.
Been trying for years to get in there to investigate. But yeah, this was a school for developmentally disabled in Wisconsin. And it was one of those big sprawling campuses with several big buildings. And as you know, there's a time in our history when people with mental disabilities were not treated very well. Right. And this is one of those locations where things like lobotomies were done, et cetera.
Oh, wow.
One of the more famous people who went there was Rosemary Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
She was there and lobotomies and all that kind of stuff went on. There is just a string of evidence that these types of locations, again, the strife, the sadness, the confusion, all that energy is trapped in these buildings, I swear. And yeah, I've heard just creepy, creepy stories of seeing nuns walking, excuse me, on the school grounds at night, voices, things moving in the hallways. Have not had the chance to get in there and investigate, but on my top five list, it is definitely there of places that I want to go see.
Is it still operating? Are there still...
It's closed down in that regard. But
why is it so hard to get in there?
Well, a lot of places, there's safety issues. You know, a lot of lead paint and some of those places have been left alone for so long that there's rotten wood and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. Have you ever heard anything about the Marinette Asylum, Todd? I know there was an asylum up there. They tore it down years ago.
And I did not know. Okay. But again, another... You know, there's asylums in Sheboygan that they do ghost tours out there very frequently. Mm-hmm. Here in Oshkosh, where I live, there is an old cemetery that's based on some of the people at the asylum in Oshkosh. And it's the typical headstones with just a number on it, but not necessarily names that go along with it. And it's just this big open field of buried people that nobody wanted to take care of.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So we got a couple minutes left. I got to ask you kind of what I led up to before the break. What is something that you've investigated that you're inclined to believe, or that you're like, yes, this is definite? Because I know you're a skeptic, and that's why you're probably a very good paranormal investigator. Has there ever been something you've investigated that's convinced you?
Absolutely. And it's from something minuscule, like literally realizing that we had been asking all the wrong questions all night. We had been asking for them, or the energies, the spirits, to do something that obviously they could not do. And the realization of finally saying, okay, listen, we know there's something here because we had a few things going on. Whatever you're able to do to show us, maybe it's not the three things that we listed tonight that we'd like you to take care of, but please, on the count of three, do something. Whatever it is that you do all the time, we want to have it happen. One, two, three, boom, it happened.
What was
it? And it was as simple as, you know, those freezer doors in a kitchen, or like a cooler door with the big handle that you pull out and then it pops open in like a restaurant.
Yeah.
That handle popped out and slammed back. And that's all it took for me, because that was something that was reported over and over in this location. And it just happened to happen just as I said that. And I realized it was, Pete, for me, it was like realizing if I walked into a room with a bunch of people who spoke Russian and they were asking me to do something, I couldn't do it because I couldn't understand what they were asking. Right. Or if somebody said, okay, do a backflip with a half twist. Daddy doesn't do that. Right. I that's not something I could do. But if you tell me, hey, sing the national anthem, I'd do my worst job at it. But I needed to ask them to do something they could do, instead of asking them all the things we wanted them to do. And that was a mind-blowing thing. The other thing that was completely mind-blowing was seeing actual shadows and shadow figures at the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay.
Oh, we talked about that, I think, on your first appearance. That sounds horrifying.
I had never, again, I'm skeptical, right?
Right.
I'm never going to see a shadow. Wait a minute. What is that? What is that? What are we seeing here? And then to watch the video, because after you experience it, you've got to go through all the audio. You've got to go through all the video and keep your eyes open for stuff you missed. And sure enough, we catch this thing on the massive train, the big daddy train,
the big boy
up there.
The Pacific.
The big boy.
Union Pacific. That's it. Wow.
That's on there. And I have to tell you, it's a perfect time of year. If you have Amazon Prime Video or whatever that's called now, Prime, and you can watch Haunted States, you will see locations in Northeast Wisconsin that we investigated, and you will see the evidence that we got, and make up your own mind if you believe it's haunted or not. But man, there's some good stuff.
I have to go back to that. I watched a couple episodes. I'm glad you reminded me of that. I love that place, the train museum. So I'll definitely check that out. But nothing, Todd, is more scary than movies about pole vaulting. So thank you for that horror.
I wish I could remember what that was called.
I'm sure I could Google it if I really wanted to watch it. Hey, buddy, this is really fun. Thank you, as always. So much fun. Thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, Conrad, have fun tomorrow morning with the guys.
Thank you.
All right. That's Todd Michaels, producer of Mino and the Mayor and a paranormal investigator. And this has been a really fun show. Thank you to Carl Sarecki from Door County Trolley. Todd Michaels, as always, so much fun talking to Todd. And all of your texts, that made this really fun. It was an interactive discussion, and I loved it. So we'll be back tomorrow night to do this again. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba. This has been Nightlight. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.